Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we've experienced you already this morning. And what can I add this morning to what has already been said, to what has been read, and to what has been sung, to what has been prayed? But Lord, I come and I want to share these loaves of bread you've given me, these fish, and I pray you would multiply it to the blessing of your people this morning. For we are all here, Lord, to glorify you, the one who bore our shame, the one who nailed our sin to the cross and turned away the wrath of a holy God, the just wrath, the holy wrath, the righteous wrath that we individually deserved. You turned that wrath upon your own Son and set us free. Oh, help every one of us this morning. Oh, to never play religious games. Oh, never play them again. Help us, oh Lord, to see you as you truly are. And I pray you would bless us now in your word as we come to this devotion this morning. Pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's difficult to say very much this morning. It has already been said, it's already been sung. But I just pray that we could be blessed by some scriptures. When we consider the importance of propitiation this morning. What is propitiation? Why is it so important? I want to read some scriptures this morning and give some thoughts, and I pray the Holy Spirit would lead and would guide and speak to each one. You know, Jesus is our substitutionary sacrifice. He's our substitute. He can make the unjust just. The ones who didn't deserve it. He can make them right before a holy God. He appeases God's holy wrath for sin. And God's holy wrath for sin is warranted. It's justified. And if every man and woman and child on planet Earth at the end of their days were cast into the lake of fire, God would be just. He would still be holy. He would still be righteous. But propitiation, it literally means the removal of wrath by the offering of a gift. Children, you'd know that verse, for God so loved the world. That what? That he gave his only begotten Son. There is the gift. God, he is both the giver of the gift, and that sacrifice appeases. It removes his just wrath against sin. And as we sung that song, he was disfigured. He bore our sins in his body on the tree, on the cross. So propitiation is used in a number of scriptures in our Bibles. In Romans 3 and 25 and Hebrews 9 and 5, there's a Greek word. It's histalerion. It's the same word that's used right at the beginning of our Bibles in Exodus 25:17. It's also the Hebrew kaporeth, which is a covering. It's used also to describe the lid of the Ark of the Covenant. And so this word histalerion, it denotes the mercy seat or the lid of the Ark. And it also talks about a reconciliation by blood. You know, on the great day of atonement, the high priest, he would come, he would carry the blood of the sacrifice and he would offer it for all the sins of the people. And with the blood, the mercy seat was sprinkled. And that appeased God's wrath. It covered. But in the New Testament, in 1 John 2 and in 1 John 4, and I'm going to come to some of these verses, Jesus Christ is personified as being a propitiation. He becomes the propitiation. So no longer year by year does the high priest have to come in, but Jesus becomes the propitiation for our sins. He is the one that appeases God's holy wrath and he removes it. He is the gift. He is the sacrifice. And the Greek word in 1 John 2 and 1 John 4 is hilasmos, Christ, the propitiation. He became our substitute. He took God's wrath upon himself. He pays for our guilt. He covers it. He removes it by the punishment he endures. And the punishment, as we've sung and as we've heard this morning, it is physical. It is physical. His body was disfigured. You could barely note and know that this is human. The carcass was showing and protruding out. He becomes despised and rejected and spat upon. But more so than that physical anguish, the wrath of God is poured out upon him. God's holy wrath that we deserved. And God's Holy Spirit alone can convict each heart and convict each man and woman and child of that holy wrath. That's a process of salvation. That's how God saves. He shows that we deserved that wrath. We deserve that punishment. That's the first step to see that. And when we see that, only then can we appreciate. Only then can we glorify the one who set us free. For those who are well don't need a physician. Only the sick. So why propitiation? I just want to just give three responses this morning. Why is propitiation so important? And the first point is that propitiation demonstrates God's righteousness. Turn to Romans 3, 21 with me, please. Romans 3, verse 21. The book of Romans, the letter to Rome, is written by Paul. It's written to at least four or five house churches, a mixture of Jews and Gentiles, Greeks, as they were known, Gentiles. And he writes to them. It talks about the reconciliation that both Jew and Gentile now have. It's not only for the Jew, it's for us as well. Now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. This is the statement Paul is making. The scripture makes the statement that there is no difference now between Jew and Gentile. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are deserving therefore of wrath. But being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth as a propitiation by his blood. There's that word. Propitiation, the removal of wrath by offering of a gift. God sets forth his own son as a propitiation by his blood through faith. Why? Romans 3 tells us to demonstrate his righteousness. God demonstrates his righteousness. God is just. And by taking a poor sinner like you and me and turning their life around, by taking this lump of clay, unholy, deserving of wrath, he demonstrates that he is righteous. He demonstrates that he is just. The Bible says further, through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. To demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Now friends, you've got to accept the propitiation. You must receive the propitiation, because if you reject Christ, God himself will still be just. He will still be holy. He will still be righteous. But you will be in agony. You will be in agony. You will be apart from him forever. But you see this principle at work and the availability of this propitiation. for your sin this morning. He will still be just, but he can justify you. He might be just in the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So you can be just and righteous and holy before a holy God because of Christ. You can stand before God. You may have gone to a Christian school. You may have gone to church all your life. You may have come to the place where people worship every time the doors were open. But you personally must accept the propitiation for your sin. Because nothing else will save you but his blood. Nothing else will make you stand before God but his blood. And it is an expensive decision to make. And I want to be alluding to this as we move through these 3 points. It is an expensive trade-off. It's not cheap. The gift is free, but it is the costliest decision you will ever make. For he demands your life. He demands your all. Shouldn't the one whose body was unrecognizable, blood and bone and carcass, and God's wrath poured out upon him, that he sweated teardrops of blood, as it were, shouldn't he demand our sacrifice? Won't you trade your life? Won't you allow God to demonstrate his righteousness in and through you? Propitiation. Number one, to demonstrate God's righteousness. Number two, why is propitiation so important? Because God is merciful. God is mercy. He is just. He is righteous. He is holy. But he had mercy on us. Oh, aren't you thankful for his mercy? Turn with me to Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2 and verse 14 to 18. God, in his very nature, is merciful. He destroys the one who had the power of death, that is the devil. Let's read from verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself shared likewise in the same, that through death, through Christ's death, he might destroy him. Who's him? Who had the power of death? That is the devil. Friends, it's not God's fault man sinned. Satan worked together with our flesh, with our nature. And we would have all fallen if we were in that garden that day. But he destroys the power of the devil and releases those who through fear of death were all life subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. And aren't we thankful for that? Therefore in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he may be a merciful and faithful high priest. Friends, as Pastor read out earlier, the priest of this earth condemned him to death. But he, the great high priest of God, made propitiation for the sins of all the people. Verse 17. He had to be made like his brethren. He came down and he suffered like a man. He suffered like flesh and blood. That he might be a merciful. Oh, see his mercy this morning, friends. He is merciful and he is faithful in all things. He's the great high priest and he makes propitiation. He is the one who takes away God's wrath. He is the sacrifice for all the sins of the people. Not every year, but once and for all. And still he continues his mercy. In verse 18 it says, for in that he has himself suffered being tempted, he is able also to aid those who are tempted. And that comes down to the Christian life. If you've received him, if you have seen his mercy, if you have accepted the propitiation of Jesus for your sin, for your guilt, he has stooped down. He's become like one of us. And He's made propitiation for us. And He has suffered. And He was tempted. And He's therefore able also to aid those who are tempted, to help those who are in trials, who are in tribulations. He's able to come down. He had mercy on us. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, the proverb says. Proverbs 16:6. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. He has provided the ultimate atonement. And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. Psalm 118 is praise unto Him who has mercy. Let the house of Aaron now say, His mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, His mercy endures forever. Won't we worship Him for His mercy? You are my God, Psalm 118 continues, and I will praise You. You are my God, and I will exalt You. This is personal. This is personal. You are my God, and I will praise You. You are my God, and I will exalt You. This is an acceptance of Christ, the propitiation. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Why propitiation? Because God is merciful. He didn't have to go to that tree for us. But He saw us in our helpless estate. And He reached out. He reached down. And He was merciful to the seed of Abraham for His covenant's sake, for His mercy's sake. He destroyed the power of bondage that was over us. O grave, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? He trampled the devil underfoot. He now reigns. He gives power to be overcomers. It is because of His great mercy that He has saved us. And why propitiation? The third point, because He loved us. Turn with me to those verses I alluded to, 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 4. We begin with 1 John, John 4 and verse 9. Let's read 9 to 11. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, there's that word again, for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another, as Pastor has already alluded to this morning. In this is love, not that we loved God. No man in the flesh can love God. No man can be saved unless God draw him first. No man can come to Christ unless God set His love upon him first. That's mercy, friends. That's propitiation. He drew us with His cords of love. And God's love is manifested toward us. God's righteousness is manifested towards us. God's mercy is manifested toward us. Not that we loved Him. We only know how to love Him because He loved us first. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and He sent His Son to be the propitiation, to be the one that takes away God's punishment for mine and for your sin. And turning back just a page in 1 John 2, John writes in the first few verses, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin." That's the Christian experience. That's the Christian life. Because when I see Him on that tree, when I see what He has done for me, the Christian life and the Christian experience is, how can I sin against such great a sacrifice? My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone sins, and if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He has made the way of escape. He has made the way of escape from temptation. And He can aid us in our trials. But if we should sin, if we should fall, He Himself, the Bible says, is the propitiation for our sins. and not for ours only, but for the whole world. Friends, no man in the agony of hell will call God unjust. No man will say, I was predestined to this. No man will say that. Everyone will know they are justly there, because they have rejected the propitiation for their sin. They have rejected the blood of Christ. And Jesus Christ offers himself through his word. He offers himself, he speaks through his word. He speaks through the mouth of preachers. He speaks through the mouth of his saints. As the word of God is given out to this world, to this dying world. And the word he gives to us this morning, the word he gives to the world is, for God so loved the world. This wicked, wicked world that he gave his only begotten son, the gift, the propitiation to appease wrath. God is not slack, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to us, to this world, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to the knowledge of him. For he does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. He cannot take pleasure. Friends, why is propitiation so important? Because it demonstrates God's righteousness. It demonstrates his mercy and faithfulness and shows us that he loved us first. When I see the blood, the scripture says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You know, any firstborn on that day of Passover, when that spirit of death came through the streets of Egypt, anyone that stepped outside that house, any firstborn would have been slain. But there, Israel, the children of God are meeting in the homes with the lamb, with a sprinkling upon the doorposts. Can you see that picture? God's wrath passes over. God's wrath passes over. God says, when I see the blood of my son, I will pass over you. Oh, what a blessed estate to know that my rags are substituted for his pure garments. To know that my sin for his purity. Look at this in action. My false works for his enduring and everlasting ones. Friends, why would any of you this morning, why would I dare to stand before God in the flesh? How could I? I couldn't. How could I stand before God unforgiven and unclean? I couldn't. The end will only be a fearful indignation and facing of the entire wrath of God for all sin. Every single one of your sins. Every single one of my sins. If it wasn't for propitiation, I wouldn't face the wrath of God for one of my sins or most of my sins or no, all and every single one. Friends, that is why the gospel is so expensive. You know, I shudder at the messages on some church billboards at this time of year. I shudder at the messages. Free front row tickets this Sunday. I shudder. Friends, there is no easy way to heaven. It wasn't an easy way to the cross. Yes, it is a gift. Yes, it is free. But it demands our all. And I'd close with Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, 12 verse 1 to 3. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. His body, he gave it all. Present now your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world that rejects Christ, this world that waters down the gospel. Look at the Easter messages. See if the gospel is in any of them. Just see whether the gospel message is in any of them. You'd be surprised how few messages at this time will have the pure gospel in them. Very, very few. Will they talk about propitiation? Will they say that man is guilty and the wrath of a holy God burns hot against man? Rightly so. Not free front row tickets on a Sunday and come at Easter to appease your guilt. No. If you do not receive the propitiation for your sin, you will stand undone before a holy God one day. Friends, this is an expensive message. This is the most expensive thing that has ever been done in the history of eternity. God allowed himself to be nailed to a cursed tree. Became a curse. Became a thing of shame. And he bore our sins in his body on the tree. That you and I, if we've received him this morning and if we know him, might present ourselves a holy and living sacrifice acceptable to him and allow him to transform us. Allow him to renew us. He entered once and for all, and as we move to the Lord's table, and I'll hand over to Pastor in just a moment. He entered not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once and for all. If the blood of bulls and goats counted for something, and there was a temporary covering, how much more, Hebrews says, 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works, religiosity, to serve the living God. To serve the living God. That is my cry. It is my prayer this morning. That we would see the enormity of this great sacrifice, this propitiation for you and for me.